Hello and welcome everyone to our 50th session of Hello Casa. My name is Michael and today I'm talking to Melissa Colacci from Vancouver in Canada. Melissa is a real estate broker in Vancouver, has just obtained her real estate license around a year ago, is especially focusing on residential real estate, and I'm super happy to have the first person from Canada and especially also from the beautiful city of Vancouver here on the show. And I am super excited now to talk to Melissa, who's going to introduce ourselves.
Hi, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day from Vancouver.
Hello, Melissa. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to our audience?
Hi, everybody. I'm Melissa. I work for Century 21 in beautiful Vancouver. Happy Valentine's Day, and thank you for having me. Love to tell you a little bit about my city. I definitely love living here. Mm-hmm. You know, we have such beautiful views. We're surrounded by mountains and the Pacific Ocean. So it's definitely not too hard on the eyes.
Awesome. Vancouver is famous for being for having such a high quality of life. Why don't you introduce us a little bit Vancouver, the city. How is it to live in Vancouver? What is it? What makes it so special? What can you do on a weekend? And give us an overview of the city itself.
Okay. So Vancouver is actually, there's lots to do here. It's something that I love the most about living here. You can literally jump on a SkyTrain bus, in a car, anything. We have the access to nature is amazing. So we have three main mountains on the North Shore, which is Cypress, Grouse, and Mount Seymour. So, I mean, in the winter, on any random weekend, you can jump in the car, head over to the mountain. If you're into snowboarding or skiing, most recently I've been snowshoeing as I'm an avid hiker. And that's something that I miss in the winter. So now I've taken up snowshoeing. So you can do the hiking and take in these beautiful views of the area in the winter as well.
You have some, especially also, not only the surroundings, but also great gardens inside. You have the China Garden, you have several great parks. Tell us a little bit about Vancouver without going and leaving Vancouver as a city.
Okay. Definitely, we do have some beautiful gardens and parks. There's the Botanical Gardens. There's also Queen's Park. It has beautiful cherry blossoms in the spring is something unique about Vancouver, which I really love. I'm a big into photography. So come cherry blossom season, I love to see them. They line the seawall. That's a really beautiful area. For me personally, I'm a big runner, so I love to run the seawall along Falls Creek. There's definitely beautiful views and just a really, really casual vibe about it. Everybody's exercising, taking in the views. You can go from one side, which is English Bay, all around the inlet to Kitsilano. Mm-hmm. So there's also very, very beautiful beaches here. Endless.
Yeah. The Stanley Park is one of the most famous ones, or is maybe even the most famous one. It's supposed to be called to be like the Central Park in New York, but obviously like 10,000 times better. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, Stanley Park, and I've learned recently that Stanley Park is actually larger than Central Park. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things to do there. You can jump on a bike or rent a bike and take a stroll through the park. There's endless trails. Sometimes I run through there. There's three different beaches. My favorite is Third Beach. It has amazing views of the North Shore. And there are a few different restaurants, specifically Stanley Park Brewery. Mm-hmm. So Vancouver and BC in general is very famous for craft beers. I'm not sure if you knew that, but I'm a big fan.
Okay.
So you can go for a nice bike ride or picnic, take in the beach and, you know, end your day at the brewery and try some of our local craft beers.
Awesome. Apart from the Reek and getaways you just mentioned concerning the mountains, you also have some islands in front of Vancouver which you can even visit, correct?
Yep, there's Bowen Island, access to the Sunshine Coast. Mm-hmm. There's actually multiple islands in the Inhow Sound that some are accessible by ferry or a private boat. Some are a little bit more remote. Actually, recently just looked into a property that was only accessible by boat, no power, no power, no running water, anything, all collected rain. It was a very, very interesting property, and that was only accessible by a private boat taxi service within the island.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The surroundings of Vancouver are just stunning themselves. I think it's just amazing to just live there because you have directly like the beautiful landscape and the nature, like, I don't know, like totally or super accessible, which is amazing. I know that here from Zurich, it's just fantastic to, I don't know, like within an hour, you're on the top of the mountain and you feel like, okay, you're somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Obviously in Canada, you have like a totally different relation to it because there you're really in the middle of nowhere, I guess, like suddenly, correct?
Vancouver is famous for hiking. Mm-hmm. It's one of the top destinations in the world for hiking. One of my favorites was Garibaldi. Mm-hmm. It just has these amazing views of the mountains and the blue water. Literally, it's endless. Mm-hmm. That's one to name a few. Lake Lovely Water is a secret gem in the Tantalus Range. You take the Sea to Sky Highway, which just taking a drive along the Sea to Sky Highway, you get views of Howe Sound on the way to Whistler. It's breathtaking, yeah. Really. It never gets old for me. I really, really love it.
Perfect. Let's talk a little bit about Vancouver itself. Can you describe us a little bit also the segmentation of neighborhoods in Vancouver? What are neighborhoods which are maybe more exclusive, maybe some trendy neighborhoods, some maybe more emerging, and maybe also some neighborhoods which are more affordable? Maybe also residential neighborhoods versus commercial neighborhoods to get like an overview of Vancouver itself.
Sure. One of the most popular emerging neighborhoods I've had a lot of clients looking in and exploring is Mount Pleasant. So South Main, Mount Pleasant, very up and coming. It's upbeat, vibrant. There's some boutiques and breweries, cafes. It's got a great sense of community. It's a very nice blend of old with new. Mm-hmm. I really love some of the single family homes are very old. They have a lot of character and charm, and some of them have been turned into triplexes or different accommodations, mm-hmm. Which are really interesting properties. I really love that neighborhood. Tree lined, it's got a lot of gardens, like community gardens, which is definitely something that I feel is unique about Vancouver. There's definitely that sense of community, people walking around with their families. There's a few new buildings. Some of the new developments are focusing on rental only to accommodate the demand in Vancouver.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's interesting. An entire neighborhood for that, or some apartments, you say, some complexes.
I would say that it could happen throughout the city. Mm-hmm. I've noticed it specifically in Mount Pleasant area. It's kind of a hub for the city. It's okay. Like kind of in between downtown East Vancouver and West Vancouver. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's a really fresh neighborhood. It's got some interest. You still get the mountain views of the city. It's just very vibrant and
awesome. That's amazing.
the cafes, a big thing in Vancouver is the latte art that everybody loves. So there's some exclusive cafes and bakeries and just a really good, like really, really nice restaurants and stuff. I see like everyone's just got like us. Everyone's really having a good time over there. It's awesome. Really popular.
Give us maybe an overview of your business, your services. You are mainly focused on residential real estate. That's what you mentioned. Give us maybe an overview of what you're offering, and also in which areas especially.
Sure. So I'm focusing generally on residential now, condos, townhomes, and detached homes. Generally anywhere in Metro Vancouver. My specified neighborhoods have been Yale Town, Mount Pleasant, Kitsilano, Fairview, and other areas downtown. Mm-hmm. I'm based out of Yale Town, so kind of an expert there, which is my favorite, the unique architecture, very contemporary, mm-hmm. beautiful views of Falls Creek. So I try to focus on educating my clients as much as possible, as mm-hmm. this is the biggest transaction of their life. Mm-hmm. I want them to feel confident and know that I'm supporting them from beginning to end. So I tend to really get to know my clients on a personal level so they're comfortable, as it can be very personal. You know, I recommend that they get pre-qualified mm-hmm. as... it's important with purchasing power, especially in this competitive market. The market has been really heating up here. We've seen a significant change in the last 5 or 6 months as a slower winter 2019. So it's really important for them to be pre-qualified and be educated about the process, inspection process, and have them just ready to put in competitive offers. So I try to keep them informed with the market trends and go over the process with them before they're putting in an offer mm-hmm. or going through to look, so that it's not they feel more confident with the process. It's not new to them as it gets closer to the time of putting in an offer. It can be very overwhelming for people, and as we know, it's very emotional to purchase your first home. It's both exciting but scary sometimes. So I just like to equip them as well as possible and be open to helping any way I can and supporting them from beginning to end.
And that's what you mean by pre-qualification. I'm guessing it's not like financial pre-qualification. It's also mental.
No, pre-qualification, when I'm referring to it, is I'm referring them to a mortgage specialist.
Okay.
And having them, you know, go through that process beforehand, before they're looking at properties, so they kind of know where they stand, as it can be very competitive here. It just puts them in a better position the more prepared you are. So really just connecting them with the necessary resources.
Yeah.
A realtor has a lot of responsibility, I feel, in Canada. We definitely have to wear a lot of hats, and I just definitely feel like I connect them with the right resources so that nothing's like taking them by surprise. Absolutely. In those moments that are most important.
Yeah. So that means like you're working directly with also the respective partners, which are for each step also required, as you said, like, you know, the person for the mortgage, the person for maybe then also later the transaction and stuff. So really making sure that you're connecting the dots, but also on the other hand, probably like accompanying them as a specialist, both professionally but also emotionally, to make sure like they are really all the time feeling well attained.
Yes, definitely. I have a team of professionals that I work closely with and often. So I definitely see the benefit for a buyer or seller to have, when you have this team in place of reliable professionals that I can go to ask questions or verify information, as no real estate transaction is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Things come up all the time. It's ever changing. The market's ever changing. The rules are ever changing. So just staying really up to date with the legal aspects, any detail that could come up or hiccup that could come up, just staying united as a team to help the clients through that process mm-hmm. as stress-free as possible.
Got it. Okay. You mentioned before that the market was heating up a little bit in, towards the end of 2019, and now it's like flattening in a little bit. Or
the
opposite. Okay. So
yeah.
What is driving? What is the driving force behind that?
Well, there have been some implications from the government, specifically foreign buyers tax of mm-hmm. 20% that was implemented in Metro Vancouver, as well as an empty homes tax or vacancy tax, which is 1% in Metro Vancouver as well. Mm-hmm. It was implemented to control the rising prices
mm-hmm.
for locals to be able to buy here, as it was getting a little bit out of hand. So it was implicated to control these rising prices. It did, however, affect the market in a kind of abrupt way.
Mm-hmm.
So January 2019, we were looking at much slower market. You were looking at properties going for much under asking, a little bit of a slower pace. That turned around a little bit in the summer, and yeah. then going into September, October, it picked right up. Generally, slower months of November and December were very steady. Market was up,
yeah.
and active sales right through the holiday season into January. And 2020 has proven to be just as busy. Most recently, the last few offers I've placed have gone into multiple offers,
yeah.
some of them very competitive, going much over asking. So it has gone, we are seeing that the consumer has taken more confidence in the market, and they're feeling, they're getting out there and making purchases.
Yeah.
And there is a low inventory, so very good time for listing right now. Specifically now, it's a balanced market,
mm-hmm.
Kind of teetering into a seller's market. So I see, from what I see out there right now in the last few transactions, it's getting really busy and it's happening quickly. So I definitely see that we will see an uptick in the market this year.
Got it. Okay. Since the foreign investors apparently played such a huge role until like this tax was imposed, where did they come from mainly? Was there a certain trend, a certain segmentation, or was it like from all over the world, or mainly US Americans, mainly Latin Americans? Can you describe a little bit like most of the buyers which were always investing in Vancouver mainly from different countries?
I know there's a lot of foreign investors from Hong Kong and China.
Okay.
Definitely, probably globally, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so.
Okay, got it. Okay, perfect. Because it's super interesting what you say, because around a week ago, I talked to Sergei from Berlin. And in Berlin in Germany, they just implemented the rental cap, because also their housing has not really has become unaffordable for a lot of people, especially families, a lot of investors, foreign investors.
This is also the case in Vancouver.
Okay.
Definitely an issue in Vancouver.
Okay. And how do you see, because there's a lot of debate around this, you know, flat rental cap being imposed by the city. How do you see the tax imposure of the city or of the municipality, whoever it has implemented? What's your take on it?
Well, I guess we've seen it kind of balanced out the market a little bit. which I guess isn't a bad thing. It's allowed some people to get into the market that maybe otherwise couldn't have. There are some other implications, first-time buyer incentives. There's another incentive from the government for first-time buyers. So I guess it's just really important to take advantage of discussing with your realtor all of your options. That's something else I offer for my clients. You know, that they weren't approved for a mortgage, that's not the end for me. I'm like, get you to the point where we can get you one. What's the plan? Let's find a strategy. Let's get a plan in place to get you there. It doesn't have to be right now. And just seeing like a just very forward thinking and getting a plan together to get there. So,
no, that makes total sense. That makes total sense. And you also just mentioned the you know, not making sure that not only like one part of the entire buying process is fulfilled, but like making sure that everything runs smoothly and also taking care of the buyer side and also the seller side, which brings me to another question. How does it work in Canada? Maybe it's an ignorant question and a basic question, but I just still ask it. Are you focusing always only on one side and only on the seller side or only on the buyer side, or are always two realtors or two brokers involved in the process? How does it work in Canada?
Well, specifically in British Columbia, you would work with two realtors in the transaction unless the party goes unrepresented. Specifically, I work with buyers and sellers. Most recently, I've had mostly buyers, so I can speak to that. But basically, are you asking about the actual steps of the transaction? I guess
that would be my follow-up question. Very good. Yeah, exactly. So no, yes. Sorry, so go ahead. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So generally, there's going to be two realtors in BC. That's what the plan in place, not to compromise conflict of interest, to make sure we maintain the best service for our clients and make sure that their interests are protected at all times.
Got it. Okay, perfect. So walk us a little bit through the buying process. If I, for example, am someone either from Canada or even from abroad, what would be the steps which I have to take in order to buy a real estate property in Vancouver?
Okay, so first of all, you would find a qualified real estate professional like myself.
Yeah.
And so there are some, as I said, I would get my clients to be pre-qualified just to get their finances in place so that you can put in a competitive offer. We would then shop around, and I really, really focus on listening really what my clients' real estate goals are and what their needs are. If they've got a growing family or they're downsizing, if they're unfortunately making a change in life, positive or negative, I try to really focus on what their needs would be, finding them with the neighborhood that suits their lifestyle. Often I find when someone starts the buying process, it's completely different from when they actually find their property. So I really help them to explore their options and such. Then if we found the property that suits their budget and their needs, we would put in an offer that can be negotiated between the buying and selling agent. Once you come to an accepted offer or an agreement between both parties, we would, if there is subjects there, we would remove the subjects based on inspection and final qualification of financing. Then you would set the dates. As soon as you remove the subjects, the deal is firm. Then you would decide on the completion and possession date. That would take place anywhere from 2 weeks to 3 months later, depending on how both parties would like that to work. So making that agreement work. Generally putting down Sorry, I'm jumping
That's
ahead
fine.
again.
No, that's fine. It's like putting down 20%, correct?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So generally, down payment here could be minimally, I would say 5% for the down payment. So, okay,
There's
great.
so you have the possibility to only have a down payment of down to 5%. However, is it correct that you also then have to have this mortgage insurance, correct?
Right. Anything you would have to have mortgage insurance with less than 20% of a down payment.
Okay. How does that work? So I pay in another insurance on that, which then obviously backs me in case I default as a person.
Right. It's the mortgage. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't think that's the way it. The mortgage insurance is. Yes, to protect the person on the when there's the higher risk for the lender.
Got it. Okay. Perfect. Okay. The way you describe it is super interesting because it really looks like you're really taking care of the entire buying process throughout the entire process. Like you're not only like representing and making sure that you're there for signatures and stuff, you're really making sure that the both parties are like protected, and you as an agent, you really take the role of either the seller's side or the buyer's side, which I think a lot of countries is not the case as much. It's more like, a transactional thing, and then you just have to really bother the broker in order to get like, some stuff going. Which but I think it's very something very North American, especially where you have a very, very sophisticated brokers over there. I'm
Yeah.
wondering, yeah.
Sorry.
No, I'm wondering about your certification. It's not that long ago that you got your certificate. Tell us a little bit about, I'm super interested about like the qualification and also the process until you have like the real estate license.
Okay. Here in BC, it's a little bit different. I did my qualification in Toronto. I'm actually from Ontario. So that was actually quite extensive. You focus on five different sections and do your articling courses and five very large exams focusing on structures, mortgages, foreclosures, commercial properties, transactions, buildings. Like it's everything, problems that could come up in buildings, different ailments of the structures. So it was quite extensive. I feel very well prepared. And then, as you know, real estate is ever changing. So we do, I'm currently taking courses. Most recently, I did one for foreclosure and a more extensive commercial course to upgrade and stay on top of up-to-date legal changes and just to provide the best information. So we want to be as well informed as possible. I would say from what I'm hearing from other countries and even other areas that it's pretty extensive. But I'm appreciative of that because I feel that I have the tools I need to do a great job and to make sure that I've paid attention to detail and that I'm knowledgeable in every area, not just the transaction itself. So.
No, I think it's super important to have a holistic picture and not just say, okay, I know XYZ, and like hopefully no one is gonna ask me about like more things. Like, okay, it doesn't make any sense. I think it's super important to really know how everything is connected and why things work the way they work. Coming back for a second to Vancouver and also maybe projects and offerings and listings you have on your portfolio. Do you have something which you can right now talk about, which is right now like on the market, so that also the audience and the listeners get a picture of what is there to offer, or as an offer to potentially also acquire?
Sure, I can focus on. First of all, I'll talk about a project that's coming up in the city that's important, like development. Here in Vancouver, we use the SkyTrain as a main source of transit. It's also important for me to mention that Vancouver is very much a carless city, which I appreciate. The transit here is amazing. You have water taxis, sea bus, SkyTrain, buses, bikes, your feet,
wow,
everything. So it is really, really environmentally conscious city.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a new SkyTrain lane line. It's mm-hmm. going to be the Broadway line. I believe it's going from Clark to Arbutus, which is a very heavily populated route,
mm-hmm.
as we have UBC in here. University of British Columbia is in Point Grey area of the city, so there's a lot of people commuting on that line, so I feel like that will be a lot easier and reduce that carbon print of cars and other such going on that route, so that's mm-hmm. kind of exciting. Currently, to give you a kind of idea or snapshot of the market, I feel is what you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing an open house actually tonight at a listing in Kitsilano,
mm-hmm.
which is a very popular area. It's near Kitsilano Beach. It's kind of famous. Jericho, that area, it's very beautiful view of the city and mountains. It's a lot of young professionals, but it's got kind of like a hippie vibe to it. It's a really cool area. So this is a fully renovated 2-bedroom, 721 square feet,
mm-hmm.
and it's going for $679.9. Fully renovated, no rental restrictions. These kinds of things are very important in our market.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I would say it's price sharp. So I expect to be very busy there, just to kind of give you an idea of what our market looks like.
Yeah.
Benchmark price in Vancouver right now is $1.8 million. For all residential, so
$1.8 million. Sorry, just to understand that correctly, $1.8 million is for the property on average.
That's the benchmark price for all residential. So that statistic includes all residential. So it's an average of condos, townhomes, and detached.
Okay, interesting. Okay,
Just to give you, generally, it's been $1 million, just under or just over, for quite some time.
Okay, wow. You just mentioned the open house. Just maybe to give you some context, in Europe, it's not as common to have open houses as in, I think, in US and in Canada. Can you walk us and explain us a little bit, like, how does the entire process always work? Is it that the seller always organizes the open house and invites a lot of people, and then everyone comes, and then you make a huge party, and then someone buys it? Or how does it work?
kind of like that, except
okay.
here the realtor would organize the open house for you.
Okay,
that's again where you want to be really picky about your realtor. Like for me, I use a lot of innovative marketing tools. An open house is very important for exposure, which, as we know, exposure is number one for getting the most for your listing.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have an open house. Some will be fancier than others. There's mm-hmm. definitely some really cool ones in Vancouver where we have them catered with bubbles and hors d'oeuvres, and you know, you're overlooking False Creek or Cole Harbor.
Yeah.
Or you can just have one where people are coming through and getting a chance to see the property without the pressure of making an appointment. And, you know, we can stage it, which is also a valuable tool for listing, to warm it up or make it more appealing to all people, mm-hmm. not just the person who likes the same couch as you,
yep.
right?
Totally.
So I think open houses are super, super important.
Yeah.
We've also, as I said, I'm doing one tonight, so it's a Friday night from 5 to 6:30. I've definitely found the benefit of it. It generally used to be Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 4 all the time. And I think like our lifestyles are changing. People are busy. We need to accommodate that. And I've definitely seen a super positive response to making the times a little bit different, different days, different times to accommodate people's lifestyles.
Okay, got it. Perfect. Thank you for the clarification. So definitely when selling in North America, I think you always definitely need to make sure that, or at least like have this question asked before you go with the realtor. Okay, so how's your open house process going? Maybe to get an idea that you also get a broker which takes care of that. Do you say that each successful real estate transaction always includes an open house, or do you also sell sometimes without?
No, I would say that it's pretty standard, but to address your question and comment, definitely I think exposure is the most important tool for getting the best price for your listing and for your home. So huge tools that we use. One is social media. Social media has one of the most broadest reach and umbrella that you can find. Some of the popular ones I use are TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, also to have different target audiences in that way. So you're really reaching out to everyone. So an open house, I would kind of do a tour and really show the best features of the property in a light that appeals to most people. But I definitely think exposure is number one. So I would want, it's definitely up to the seller. Some people are not comfortable with open houses, and that's okay too. We definitely can come up with many other ideas to market your property and get it the most attention. So, yeah.
Super interesting. Super interesting that you mentioned TikTok. I also think it's I'm leveraging, I'm using it a lot, TikTok, and I see like the reach is much, much, obviously much higher than anywhere else. On general, how long does the average property is on the market or is for sale? How long does it normally take? Like not particularly your properties, but how does more or less like Vancouver move at the moment if someone on average puts a listing ask a realtor to sell the house or the listing itself, how long does it normally take until it gets sold?
I think the most recent statistic is generally I've looked is it's around 20 to 29 days on the market.
Wow.
And we're looking at 90% of asking price, which was definitely as a change from 6 months ago. So that's the most recent statistic. And I would say looking on paper and being out in the field with my own transactions, I'm seeing that is definitely accurate.
But that means that it was even before with the international buyers, even faster and higher asking price before the tax was imposed.
Yeah, the tax was imposed a couple of years ago. That's okay. Pretty important to point out. So as we know, with anything implemented, it takes a little time to kind of catch up. And that's kind of what we're seeing now. You know, it definitely took some time to see the effects of the tax and then the aftermath and then the ripple effect on other areas, right?
Yeah. Okay, no, I mean, it's super fast, I think. Like,
I think so too. Like I would say if we're looking at a 3-year margin, would be fair to say.
Yeah. Okay. Where do you see the entire Vancouver market moving within the next, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, if you can look that much forward, if you have an estimation of feeling, talking to people, maybe also the regulation is, you know, obviously those tax imposures always play a role. Where do you see the market going?
I definitely think 2020, the market's heating up for sure. Mm-hmm. I think at a lot quicker pace than most people expected.
Mm-hmm.
The buyer confidence is there. And as, we see more listings, more people listing. Like there's quite a bit, the inventory is low right now. So that's why I think we're seeing these competitive offers. I definitely think it's plateauing. I definitely see it being on an uptick and, you know, staying consistent for 2020 and maybe seeing an increase. I think projected increases between 10 and 18% for this year has been forecasted. So we'll see how that plays out. I feel really confident the action I'm seeing in the with buyers and sellers right now, it's definitely positive.
Awesome. Okay. Super, super interesting. Thank you for the insights. I have another question concerning your, let's say, attention to the client. You already described it in a very nice way that you really take care of the client. Tell us a little bit from your perspective, what investors, but also sellers, should really take care of and what is for you important when choosing a good realtor. Like really making sure that, you know, you are finding someone who is attentive, who is professional, who is also communicative. What are for you like the key aspects of a good realtor?
Definitely continuing education so that they're staying up with the current market and rules of cooperation. Definitely that you can reach them. You know, I definitely try to get in contact with all my clients within 2 hours, especially, and if it's a, you know, we're in the middle of a transaction or negotiation, then sooner. And just, you know, supporting them through the process. As I said, for me, I educate them. It's not something I'm doing for them. It's something I'm doing with them. Makes sense. So that, you know, they have as much confidence in themselves and the decisions they're making with the information that they need to make those decisions. I think customer service is really important. For me, it's the most important. And as obviously the personal nature of, you know, opening up your finances and your personal life, which often is important in a real estate transaction because of your motivations or why you need to sell or buy and how you're making those moves. I think it's really important for people to be able to be comfortable and for me to be transparent. So honesty, integrity obviously is number one for me. And it's really important that my clients feel that. I feel that they do. And yeah, I think that the rest kind of falls into place when you have the key aspects.
Awesome. Do you have any final thoughts for potential investors or sellers or other real estate brokers, which you can communicate now as a tip, as something where you would definitely like give away as an advice?
Yeah, just is it being well, like really, first of all, being personable and approachable so that your clients are feeling comfortable and can make an informed decision based on that. Also being really educated about the area and in touch with the area that you're in. You know, specifically for Vancouver, it's a very transient city. We have a lot of immigration here and a lot of people coming here for work and coming from other countries. So I get really excited about showing them around and, you know, helping them feel more welcome here and, you know, things like that. I just, for me, my focus is personal touch, going over and above, you know, helping them like connect with resources, daycares, schools, work contacts if need be. For me, it doesn't stop at the real estate transaction for the most part. So most of my clients become friends, which I love. And I mean, it helps me to feel like my job's been done properly and I like connecting with people. And as I know in a new city, as I've lived in Vancouver for a couple of years, it's really important when you're new to a city to feel like you belong and kind of get connected with your places to go and your favorite restaurants and your gym, and make sure your kids are taken care of with people that you can trust. So for me, it's that extra touch, also being very thorough and professional at all times, making sure that I've done due diligence to make sure that their interest and they're protected at all times for any discrepancies in the transaction, and making sure everything goes smoothly.
Awesome. You know, here we go. We see that how important the personal touch is, and how important also the extra mile is, and what a big role it in fact plays to really not, you know, I don't know, like, you know, not be the best person in marketing on Google Ads, but really, in fact, it boils down to the personal connection. And it's really nice that you say, like, most of the people you're dealing with are becoming friends in the end. I think it really shows that you know your profession, and you know how to deal with the people, and also how to really conduct a proper business. Amazing. Melissa, how can people reach out to you if they want to sell or buy properties in Vancouver, from either within Vancouver or maybe some people even abroad?
Okay, so you can reach me by email or phone. The brokerage that I work under is Century 21, and actually, to highlight to the customer service, what we call is our gold standard. So that's what we have for our brokerage that we stand by, is the gold standard. So my email is melissa.kalachi@century21.ca. Phone number is 604-715-8778. My tagline is Sell With Mel, so you can always find the hashtag sellwithmel.ca. You can reach me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, or LinkedIn.
Perfect.
And I welcome anyone. You know, there's never an obligation. Like, let's have a conversation and see if we're the right fit. But I'm always happy to provide information regardless.
Awesome. Great. No. Thank you so much. It's been super interesting to talk with you about Vancouver, about Canada. I really thank you for all the information you gave us, and for all the insights. And Melissa, I wish you still a very nice day, and especially a very nice open house later, a very successful one. Yeah. Unfortunately, I cannot join the party. But
you're missing out.
Exactly. But definitely I will come and visit you in Vancouver one day. I'm super interested to get to know the city.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.